for our city. This is the FC Buffalo Show on 91.3 FM, WBNY. Now, from the WBNY studio, here are your hosts, Ben Tsujimoto and Nick Mandola.
All right, a really exciting day for the Football Club of Buffalo Show. I am Nick Mandola. Many of you at this point would hear me introduce myself as from Pro Soccer Talk, from NBC Sports Pro Soccer Talk, along with Ben Tsujimoto from the Buffalo News, the soccer.buffalonews.com, the soccer blog. And at this point, I have to say that's not how I'd introduce myself today. I'm the co-owner of FC Buffalo, the National Premier Soccer League. Many of you know that. And we're very excited to announce a number of our players for this summer. We'll be going to it over the course of the day. It's a really exciting time for us. And I just stutter over my words a little bit because we do a lot of work, especially Coach Murphy and Coach Roach and Scott Fraunhofer, my co-owner, just going through a lot of players. I think we estimated that we took a sincere look at, it's well over 100 players this year, talked in the neighborhood of 4 or 5 dozen coaches, still have much more to figure out as we move forward. But the guys that we are bringing to Buffalo this year, several of whom you'll hear from today, Brendan Murphy, our head coach, is going to join us as well to close out the show and give you a thought. And for those of you who have Twitter, you can follow what our assistant coach, Bob Roach, is doing on Twitter. He'll be kind of commenting on the players as we get to them. And we'll talk to Ben in a minute. We're having a little bit of a trouble getting him his headphones plugged in so he can hear from us. But we'll welcome in Ben now. Excuse us to all of the people hearing us for the first time. We know a lot of players' families turning in. Ben, can we hear you now?
Yeah, you sound great, Nick.
Thank you. I feel great.
Good.
I feel better now. Settled. Good. Excited. So as someone who covers the local soccer scene, set the stage for us. Because again, I run the team in a certain sense. You know, I run the day-to-day operations. So it's a very exciting day for me and not exactly easy to put into words why. So, yeah, give us your thoughts on a day like today.
Well, I think it's exciting because, you know, I sort of equate it to the Buffalo Bisons in that every year usually has a very different slate of players, and you get to know different names, and some of them stick around for a while. FC Buffalo's had its share of veterans who've played, you know, 4 or 5 years, the Chris Walters and so on. But it's still, the fans are looking forward to who's coming. They're interested in maybe the next, you know, the Russell Cicerone or like one of those caliber of players coming in, regardless of where they're coming from. And given FC Buffalo's ability to house players now, there's a much broader scope of locations where these players will come from. And I think we'll see when you announce some of these players that, you know, they're not coming from our own backyard necessarily. It's talent that spans, you know, multiple countries, not just, you know, the New York region.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I'm really excited about is we do have that reach, but in the same hand, or on the same, you know, the same side of things, it allows us to be very, very selective on who we talk to and making sure we get the right character players. And you know, what's interesting is we have a day like today, and I almost want to say like 100 times over, this is the majority of what we're going to be working with this summer. But there are some schools that we're still talking to. And I think I put it, well, no one's ready yet because it's a draft on the internet, but local, national, and international. I mean, there's even a school outside of the United States that that we've been speaking to. So players will join us. There's a prominent local school that, you know, you'll see in this first batch has, you know, names missing. And that's because we're still working out the details there. So a lot to follow and every reason for you to be at fcbuffalo.org. But I don't want to waste too much more time. We have a guest joining us at 5:10 from a certain group. So let's lay out how we're going to do this tonight. We're going to relay our goalkeepers first. Our first guest is going to be a goalkeeper on the show. We'll go to defenders, midfielders, forwards. The tricky part for us, of course, is that a lot of these guys, and I think of Kendall McFadden, who's done such a great job for us over the last really 4 years, a guy who played forward for us even last year when he was NPSL Best 11 as a center back, played some significant time for us, scored not the match winner, but an important goal against the Michigan Stars. Guys who play multiple positions. So just because we say this guy's a defender doesn't mean he plays that place in college. It doesn't mean he's played that play, at any time. It's just that we view him that way. And Coach Murphy, and one of the things we love so much about Brendan is that he sees guys and he sees things in them that, you know, you don't necessarily see. One of the guys we're going to name a little bit further down the line on the show is a player who, you know, recently transferred colleges, but for whatever reason, and we've seen him play a couple times, wasn't really being utilized at all by his first coach. And there's a lot of talent out there in college soccer. So really kind of excited to get into that.
Yeah, and you don't really know how some of these guys who may not be putting up gaudy college stats, you don't know whether the player in front of them is a, you know, an all-conference player, or you're right, there's some guys who are, when you put them around better players, they become a lot more productive, you know, and I think that's something to not overlook when you see names being added to a roster. Oh, this person only had 2 goals and no assists last year. Well, it could be circumstantial, and there's a lot more than just what shows up on a stat sheet.
Sure. Without getting into specifics, there's a player that we've been speaking with. I'll just say he's from out further west, and his the two guys in front of them are both in MLS camps as a forward. So do you fault him for not breaking through? No, of course not. No. It's just there's a tremendous amount of skill there, and it's a really fun time for, you know, to hear Coach Murphy or Coach Roach call us and kind of lay out, you know, here's why we like this guy. This is what he's going to bring to the table. And, you know, really kind of excited to get going.
I didn't realize Coach Roach rhymed like that.
Oh, you should have.
The first that I've
How do you not? It's so many similar letters between them.
Troubling on my part.
It is troubling. It's certainly troubling. And we will, we'll get into it now. We'll talk about two goalkeepers. We only have two in the fold right now, just by virtue of how things have worked out, but we're very excited about both of them. One has been in the club for a few years now, actually started for us in an emergency spot, or actually came in as a sub for his first game out of Williamsville South High School, if I remember. I think of him from Niagara U. Well, he'll be playing for Bill Boyle this year, playing for a Billy, and that's Steve Casey. He's going to be back on the team, and excited to have him, a gigantic man.
He's very tall, 6'6". Yeah.
Gigantic feet. You know what they say about guys with big feet?
I have not looked at his feet.
Definitely kick soccer balls really far. And we're also going to be joined momentarily by a kid out of Ottawa, Ontario. Had a really good talk with his goalkeeping coach when we reached out to them. And then that goalkeeping coach got in touch with our coach, Brendan Murphy, who was a goalkeeper. Mm-hmm. And so there was a lot to like there. And his name is Nick Jeffs out of Louisville. And we're really excited about him. You know, Murph loved what he saw from him on tape, and, well, I guess it's not tape anymore, but also his goalkeeper coach, to get a recommendation from a guy, his name's Danny Cipero, which might be familiar to some people, played for the New York Red Bulls, the Philadelphia Union, Harrisburg City, I want to say.
Oh, that's Cepero, correct?
Cepero,
yes.
Yeah.
That does stick out in my mind.
And he went to Penn, so very excited about him. 6'2" guy, Canadian. We've had Canadian keepers in the past, so that's exciting. And I believe he is on the line now. Nick, how you doing? This is Nick. It's nice to make your acquaintance. How's it going, man?
Yeah, good. How are you doing?
We're doing really well. You know, I guess the first thing I wanted to say is, you know, welcome to the team. And you had spoken to Coach Murphy a lot, and we were mentioning your goalkeeper coach as well. What kind of drew you in from you know, to come to Buffalo?
Well, first of all, thank you. And as you said, like, I was talking to Coach Murphy a lot, and I think even from the first phone call, it was like a 15-minute phone call of him explaining the program, what direction they want to go in, and explaining how he can help me. And so to me, that stood out to me like right away that this guy's really interested. He wants me there, and it sounds like I'm going to, you know, be able to play a key role in pursuing team goals as well as personal goals. Because, you know, there's a big break between university season. Like, it's 4 months off during the summer. And so I don't want to just maintain my level. I want to grow over the summer. And to me, FC Buffalo seemed like a team that would do just that.
Nick, this is Ben Tsujimoto here asking you a question. You were in an interesting situation in Louisville where it seems like you guys used three goalies, or did you rotate three goalies? And how difficult is it to be part of that rotation, or to be, you know, uncertain of your role from game to game?
I mean, it was really difficult because, you know, when I switched out, we were still at a very good record. Mm-hmm. So it was very difficult for me personally. And, you know, you never really agree with it. But the important thing is to know that, you know, this is what you signed up for. You know, only one goalkeeper is going to play. And, you know, you're not going to get subbed in. So you just keep working day in and day out and try to make it as obvious to everyone around you that it needs to be you. So, I mean, it was a bit of a tough decision, but still a lot of growing came through it.
Nick, you went 3-2-1 this season. You had some big-time games, and one of the ones I really liked was I remember watching it because it was a great goal. I think you have a teammate from the West Ham Academy, and I remember him scoring that goal. I remember watching it live, the clean sheet you had against Kentucky, and that's a bit of a rivalry too. Is that something that stands out to you as a highlight of the season?
Yeah, I mean, for sure, that was my first college clean sheet. I mean, UK probably wasn't the biggest team I played against, but right. Just the atmosphere of having like 5,000 fans there. And just, yeah, like you said, the huge rivalry. You know, I'm not from around here, so I didn't really know too much about it when I came in my freshman year, but quickly got engulfed in it from our first game, and then not even this one where I was actually on the field. So, I mean, it was awesome. Rivalry games are like a whole new level. It's just a war out there. So it was awesome to be a part of it, and then to grab a clean sheet just, you know, made it all the better.
Nick, you got to play 90 minutes against Stanford, the national champions, and you got to see Jordan Morris firsthand. Tell me about that match and what you remember from that, because it was a really tight game.
Yeah, I mean, that was a really tough game. But to be honest, the back line in front of me was holding really strong. We were limiting them to only a couple chances. You know, I played my part in the air and on a couple stops, but the back line was really good. But I mean, he just showed his class with how he gets, you know, one half chance and then he takes the perfect touch to turn it into an easy chance. And of course, he just buried it. I mean, it was really cool to play against him, especially with all the success he's doing now. It was just really unfortunate we couldn't get the win.
Nick, I was watching, kind of going through stats and going through numbers, and what I was interested in kind of picking your brain about is a goalie friend of mine. I had sent him your tape once you decided to come and said, look, I always get our take. I'm like, we're really excited about this guy. Can you take a look at him? And one of the things he said was that you're almost, in a good way, unorthodox in how you'll do anything to get to the ball. How would you describe yourself? Are you an aggressive keeper? Are you a cerebral keeper? How do you look at it?
To be honest, probably before I came to college, due to my size of being, you know, 6'4" and being quite athletic with my size, you know, I was always more of a shot stopper. And then when I came to college, they kind of tried to get me more off my line, like always reading the play and, you know, how can I prevent a shot instead of stopping a shot? You know what I mean? Like, that's a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is a little bit unorthodox, but at the end of the day, you're just throwing anything on the line to keep the ball out of the back of the net. So, I mean, you look at goalkeepers all around the world, they all have different ways of how they go to ground, you know, different styles of everything. I mean, it's just, at the end of the day, you just want to keep the ball out of the back of the net.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, and I was just going to say, like, you know, myself as a goalkeeper, I'm kind of like, I like to come out for crosses and stuff like that. And yeah, that's kind of where I play a huge part.
How has the vocal, the leadership, the commanding your back line, the really just, you know, communicating to your teammates part of being a goalie? Because that, you know, has almost equal, if not more, importance to shot stopping at times, right?
Yeah, and that's what I was touching on with preventing a shot mm-hmm. as opposed to stopping a shot. I mean, if you're organizing your back line well, you're not going to face many shots. And that's what I kind of went through with Stanford, UK, and even Syracuse away. We had a lot of just leading and commanding through the back line. You know, I have two very good center backs that, you know, love to listen and love to talk as well. So I think when I'm talking, it kind of gets the center backs to talk in front of the defensive midfielders, who then get them to talk in the attacking midfielders. It just starts from the back. You know, like, you're just the coach on the field pretty much.
Nick Jeffs, he's a goalkeeper from Louisville. He'll be with FC Buffalo this summer. Nick, a couple more questions. When you think about Buffalo, you know, have you been here before? What do you know about it? Obviously, being from Ottawa, if you had to come to a tournament in the United States, odds are you came through here at some point. But, you know, what are your impressions?
Like of the team or of the city?
No, of the area. Yeah, have you been here before?
Yeah, I've been there a couple times for games. When I was with the Ottawa Fury, we played in the American League, so I've been there a couple times to play games. But it was more to just, you know, go from the hotel to the field. So I haven't seen a whole lot of the actual city, but I'm really looking forward to it. You know, I've heard really nice things, and it'll be nice to be closer to home. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing more of the city, I would say.
The conversation that you and I had before, you'd mentioned that you're a big basketball guy, and I didn't get a chance to ask, does that mean Raptors? I know they're all the rage right now in Ontario, but you know, what do you like about what's your favorite basketball team, and what else do you like to do?
Yeah, you know, I do like the Raptors just because, you know, it's the only Canadian team, and you know, I've been to their games and stuff like that. I do also like Cleveland, so it's kind of cool to come here, and I'm hoping to go to a game pretty soon. But, you know, I just really enjoy watching basketball. I played it, you know, all the way until I had to make that hard decision on what do I stick with, basketball or soccer in high school. And then even here in Louisville, I go to the Student Rec Center and play basketball with like people on this team all the time. So it's something I just like to keep doing just to stay, you know, active on days off and just kind of goof around with some friends.
Hang out with Rick Pitino.
Yeah, we're really close.
All right, Nick. Well, we appreciate you taking the time. We can't wait to learn more about you and see more of you this summer. Have a great spring season over there in Louisville with Coach Ken, and we really appreciate your time tonight.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, it's been great finally getting to talk to you guys and even spread the word down there.
All right, sounds good. Nick Jeffs, goalkeeper from Louisville, will join Steve Casey, returning goalkeeper in our stable of keepers. Certainly there'll be some movement there as well. But I mean, really excited because you got a guy in Steve who, it's funny hearing Nick describe himself as a shot stopper. That's Steve Casey, you know, to hear about Steve that way and to hear that evolution. I think these are two guys who are going to work really well together.
Nick's listed at 6'2", 164 on the Louisville site. It's interesting to hear him label himself 6'4". And if he's really 164, he's got to get
in. They grow, man.
They grow, these kids. You got to get that guy into some chicken wings, Nick.
Yeah, I think he's going to find out something about that.
All right.
That's generally...
Test his metabolism.
Generally how it
I've
works.
I've heard they're a good place. This is a good place for them.
Those are the rumors that it's been invented here. I haven't dug into that too much, but, you know, that's the theory. We're going to have a whole list of this stuff on at our website, fcbuffalo.org, after the show. I know Ben's going to have a more incisive view of it because we're pumped. You know, Ben's a journalist, so hopefully he's pumped too, but we never know what he's going to say. He could really break it down in different ways. Home opener going to be May 14th at 7 p.m. against the Rochester River Dogs. We're going to have another call in a few minutes, so we're going to want to kind of break into the next level of guys. And I haven't broken them down by position because it's really tricky. So what we're going to do now is kind of go with that sort of attacker slash winger. And then once I get past that, we can kind of decide who we might have missed and who falls into a different category of midfield. But, you know, in terms of guys who... are going to play some pretty attacking roles. We have Bailey Winkle coming. He is a Canadian. He was at Drexel, came to our open tryout. He transferred to Robert Morris. It was one of those things where I remember talking with Coach Murphy and another coach in our area, and we were kind of describing, here's a kid who was having trouble getting on the field for Drexel, and we saw him at one tryout. We just wondered, Drexel did not do very well, right? And we thought, how do they not have a plan for this sort of talent? So we're very excited about Bailey Winkle. Also, and a player who's going to be calling us in a little bit from Paulo Neto's program down in St. Francis is Andres Vega. That's one of those names where I want to make sure I'm going to ask him because I haven't heard him say it. So I think I'm saying that right. From Nicaragua, 5 goals and 3 assists in 2 seasons. He's a guy I'm really excited about, and we'll bring this up to him as well. But we had been talking with his coach, Coach Neto, for a while, and he mentioned, you know, there were a couple guys we were going after from their team. And at some point he said, hey, I just talked to my players. I've got some great news. I've got a couple guys who I didn't think needed homes for the summer. And so Andres was a guy that they didn't necessarily, you know, they thought he was going to be somewhere else and came available and, you know, kind of one of those instant fits. I'm going to include this player in there from St. Bonaventure, although I think he can play deep lying as well, and that's Kieran Toland. And you can tell us a little bit about him in a minute. Paisley, Scotland native, 3 goals and 2 assists out in Olean for Kwame Oduro this year, and a player that we really, really like.
Yeah, Kieran, I think, will be this kind of an environment will be better for him, because in St. Bonaventure, he was surrounded with, I mean, let's face it, not a very talented team.
Very young too.
Yeah, very young too. And he's a guy who's tremendous with his feet. He's very much a central of the park, like middle of the park kind of player. Can strike a ball from distance, pretty poised, really soft touch. A guy who's technically very strong. We'll see how he can adjust athletically, but he's a very, very good technical player.
Also, from Williamsville, New York, out of the University of New Hampshire, Ben Noel. You might find him online as Benjamin Noel. Mm. So we had a Nick on the show for me, and now we're talking about a Ben for you, Ben.
But he's not coming on to talk.
Yeah, played 9 matches along with FCB alumnus Ben Raymond. And I remember talking to Ben as well as coach out there at New Hampshire even during the season, because they were having a great year. And I was writing an article on them, and I said, by the way, you've got a kid from Western New York, and they say he's really coming around. Incredibly athletic, incredibly promising, and he'll be, you know, a big part of their attack moving forward out there in New Hampshire. One I'm very excited about, and that's a kid from Falkirk, Scotland, out of Hartwick College named Jamie O'Grady, who was supposed to join us. He'll be joining us in a couple weeks. He was the 2015 Sun Belt Offensive Conference Player of the Year. He scored 11 goals this year, and he does this awesome, and you'll see it on our website later, heel-clicking celebration in honor of his dad, which is what his dad did when he scored. And Jamie is a absolute grinder. A couple years ago, was a holding midfielder with Chris Walter at Hartwick. They played in the same pairing. And then this year, he had played some center back too. This year, moves up to a more attacking midfield position. And by the end of the year, he had just found the scoring touch that they were playing him as an out-and-out forward. Physical guy, doesn't stop running. And a fun fact, his middle name is Liverpool. So not surprised that he is a Liverpool fan.
Jamie Liverpool O'Grady.
Speaking of big attacking forces, TJ Kostecki is the coach over at LIU Brooklyn, and made a little joke last week that wasn't really a joke, and that's Romario Guskett, and it could be Guskett. I haven't spoken to Romario yet.
My guess is Guskett.
Yeah. 2015 Northeast Conference, all-rookie forward, big kid. Scored 7 goals. The comparison, because he's Jamaican, is to go to the ones that we've had at Buffalo in terms of Richie Wilson as a striker and Asani Samuels as a striker. But what Romario has is he is a big kid. He is a really thick kid, and the way he uses his body, there was a really good hold up play to him. And the video that I watched, I remember actually thinking of in his prime, the way Brian Ching would operate, to kind of let a guy like Stu Holden at Houston or someone else run off him. And I'm really, really impressed by him. I don't know if you found any fun facts about him.
No, I like the Brazilian first name for a guy who's not Brazilian.
Yeah.
That's nice. But no, super productive in his freshman year at a decent school like LIU Brooklyn. This is a perfect building block for him, you know, going into a sophomore year where he probably has pretty high expectations to contribute.
Yeah, so those are, and we'll throw a couple more in while we're waiting for Andreas to make the call over to here to WBNY, and I'll kind of bridge the gap here, because he's a guy who played in an offensive role for us last year, but is more, I think, in the outside mid category, and that's Josh Bishaw from St. Bonaventure, a Lockport native, blazing fast, another really strong kid. I remember in the game at Binghamton this year, he did a really strong job. And a lot of people didn't get to see that game. It wasn't streamed. It was a road game. But I'm impressed with where he's come along. He fought through injuries this year over in Olean, and I think he'll be a big, big addition.
Yeah, kind of a lost season for him for St. Bonaventure. And it was tough to see, because I remember Brian Knapp saying last year that Josh Bishaw was one of the most improved players through training at FC Buffalo. And you saw that in the road game. But no, a lot of pace when he's healthy. He can finish as well. I'm not really sure what his position is. I don't know if Brendan Murphy envisions him as a striker you bring on late to use his pace and strength, or if he's a guy who's a winger. You know, I mean, there's two very different positions with two different knowledge bases necessary. So I don't know what Brendan Murphy, and maybe that's a good question for him when he joins us.
Yeah, I think that is a good one. I think he's a player too, again, being a sophomore. You know, it's kind of, I think we saw it with Corey Phillips, who played for FC Buffalo a few years ago. When he was at Herkimer Junior College, I want to say he was first or second in the nation in scoring as a forward, mm-hmm. went to Madai and was a center back. And he did a tremendous job and was an all-star for us. In fact, not in our conference, but the rumor is he will be in the NPSL this year, and I'm very, very excited to have him back in the league.
Yeah, it's funny how, you know, versatile some players can be. I think of the Detroit City FC player, Zach Myers, who was a center back for a long time, got seriously injured, came back, was a striker, and then he had a one really good year with Detroit City FC. So, yeah, I mean, versatility is pretty important, but it still surprises me a little bit to see guys go from center back up top.
All right, we're going to take our break, and when we get back, we'll get Andreas on the line. He's texting with me. I had to go get better reception, so out there in Pennsylvania. So we'll take a break. We'll have him. We'll have a returning player join us as a guest and then talk to Coach Brendan Murphy. A lot of players to continue to roll out as FC Buffalo announces our first big batch of players for this summer, and excited. So for Ben Tsujimoto, I'm Nick Mendola, and we'll be back in a minute on WBNY. We're going to begin to call in a moment. Disconnected. That Pennsylvania phone line is just being a gigantic pain.
It's a really good lead-in music, though. I'm fired up to talk to
you should be fired up.
Yeah.
Nick Mendola here from the Football Club of Buffalo show, along with Ben Tsujimoto, and we are really excited to welcome in our next guest. We announced him as being part of the program for this summer as we roll out some of FC Buffalo's players, and that is a winger from, if I say any of this wrong, this is our first time talking, I want the world to know this, is it Managua, Nicaragua?
Managua, Nicaragua, correct.
Look at that.
Ooh, that was pretty good, yeah.
Andres Vega. Andres, first of all, thank you. We're excited to have you in Buffalo this year. First and foremost, when people talk about you, or when you're asked to describe yourself as a player, what do you usually say?
I guess I would say, like, I'm an ambitious player trying to go forward all the time, like looking for like dangerous opportunities and is trying to be as effective as possible as I can.
I had been told, by your coach, you know, every player has that moment when things just click. And I remember talking to Coach Neto, and he talked about how midway through the season, everything just started coming together with you. I know you had a game where you had something crazy, like 7 shots on net.
Yeah.
What did it feel like to get into that groove and become a regular starter and really start becoming a problem for defenses across the Northeast Conference?
Yeah, I mean, I was like always like training the same way, and like somewhat like in the middle of the season, like it just like started like becoming this like crazy, like how would I say, like I don't want to say like good luck, but like I just like good play. Like every time like I was on the ball, like I knew what to do, and I was like aware of what I had to do and like when my job was. Like it's just like I think it's a matter of more of like a mentally stage that you reach, like you have the skills and everything, and then you just better do like what your mind's telling you at that point.
Andres, you had some success against a team from Western New York. You scored the game-winning goal against St. Bonaventure last year. What do you remember about that goal?
That was one of like the first. That was the first goal last season, mm-hmm. and I came in as a sub. So like my first thought was like, okay, like this is what I can do, like. That's what I want to, like, that's where I want to be at. So, like, I was just trying to keep my spot and, like, feel that I deserve to be on the field at that moment.
Andres, I'm looking at your, I was looking at your Twitter page when you followed FC Buffalo, and you are apparently really excited about, you're kind of delving into the Central American food chain restaurants that you think need to come to the United States. Do you miss the food about home a lot? The food from home?
Yeah, no, that's one of the big like stuff that I miss about, like, it's just insane how different the food can be and like how much you can miss it. You have no idea.
So you can show us how to make different kinds of food when you come up here. You can kind of introduce some new stuff to us.
Yeah, for sure. I'll do my best. I'm not the best cook, but I'll try.
Well, you said, and the other thing you said is that your parents are listening tonight. Is that right?
Yeah, I try to. I don't know if they're listening right now, but if they did everything right, they should be.
All right. Well, we're really excited to have you in town, And we look forward to getting to know you a lot better. And thanks for giving us a call tonight, Andres. Can't wait to see you on the field.
Yeah, I'm so excited. Thank you for the opportunity as well. Like, I can't wait. I can't wait.
You got it, man. We can't wait to see you. And that is Andres Vega from St. Francis on Pennsylvania. Really, again, excited about not a player that we thought was going to be available and popped open. And that really is going to, I think he's going to make some big differences in the game. Not the biggest guy. In fact, I think maybe on the other side of the field, but similar to what we saw in Brett LaRocque, who's in his conference as well. And if he can be that productive, then we're going to be in pretty darn good shape for FC Buffalo.
Yeah, I can see him starting on the wing. I mean, this is a guy with a lot of pace, and you're right, he's not big, but on the wing you can get away with not being huge. I mean, think about Mike Reedy, what kind of a difference he made, you know, as a guy who could play on the flank and attack defenses and just low center of gravity and good quickness. Those players are very useful.
I want to roll out a couple more local guys before we bring a local guy on to guest on the show. Let's just go with the returnees because I know he's on the line. We're going to have Chris Walter back. He's not the guy on the line, but FCBs, I know he gets a lot of grief from some of his teammates because he's the all-time appearance leader. 44 games for us. Chris Walter is back. Ross Suter is going to be back, the returnee defender. Played 22 games for St. Lawrence this year. They made a significant run into the NCAA tournament. Really like Ross, and he's been known for his exploits at the BDSL level too. I think he's kind of looked at as one of those players most likely to make the jump. You know, one of those things.
Yeah, he's been very good for Queenston FC of the BDSL. You know, for a couple of years now, he's also the blondest player in FC Buffalo history.
Yeah,
if we're keeping track of those stats.
We mentioned Steve Casey's coming back. We mentioned Josh Bishaw is coming back. Technically coming back, even though he didn't get to play because of injury, is a really exciting player, Isaiah Barrett, holding midfielder out of Wilson, New York from Binghamton University. And this guy who almost everybody knows, if you've been around FC Buffalo at all, out of Buffalo or Williamsville, New York, whatever he's going with that day.
Former Spartan.
Former Spartan out of Madai College, former Rochester Rhinos player, a dual threat, scored a bunch of goals for us last year, but was also named the NPSL Best 11 for his work at center back, and that's Kendall McFadden. Kendall, how's it going, buddy?
Good evening, guys. How are you?
Doing really well. Tell us, tell us what you're thinking ahead of this season. You know the dance. You've done it several times.
Yeah, I've been here before. It seems really excited actually to get to know a lot of guys. At this point in my career, I'm kind of just using it as kind of use my experience that I've had over the past, you know, 6-7 years playing professionally and playing for you guys. Just to kind of let these college kids know what it kind of takes to get to that next level.
Kendall, how tough of a decision was it to come back? I know when we talked at the end of last year, you weren't really sure whether that was going to be your last year or you thought you were going to, you know, like, take some time to decide, but what kind of, swayed the decision?
I really just don't want to get fat. I really just want to play until, you know, I physically can't anymore, and I think that I can still compete at this level and still provide something for the team as far as, you know, being a defender or, you know, scoring goals or whatever the case may be, whatever, you know, Coach Murphy needs from me. But just kind of being that leader for the team, be the oldest guy on the squad this year. But that's basically what kind of made me come back.
You've established a pretty good relationship with Chris Walter, too. You know, two of the longest standing FC Buffalo members. How much of a role did his decision to return factor into your decision to return?
Oh, man, it's just crazy because, you know, growing up, I played with Chris's brother, Ryan Walters, and Chris was kind of always like the little brother that was tagging along. And now to be playing with him, like, on a daily basis, it'll be good again. Like I said, he's probably one of my good friends and best friends in Buffalo. So getting to interact with him on a daily basis is always fun.
Kendall, you have kind of that rare distinction of coming to us after before and after Rochester. What was that experience like for you? I mean, you were the USL Player of the Week, had some exceptional times out there, and I know that the fans liked watching you play as well. So you've played in the market Rochester, you've played in the market Buffalo. Do you see any sort of similarities in terms of the way the game is growing here?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you just take a look at the stands that the people we had in the stands last year, at All High, I mean, it's a great facility. I've been playing there since I was in college. But just the support that we got from the fans here in Buffalo is just, I mean, second to none, to be honest. And that's what we do it for. Those fans who know we don't really have a quote-unquote professional team here in Buffalo, but they still come out to the games and you know, support us as if we are a professional team.
Kendall, what kind of an accomplishment was that, the All-NPSL Best 11? Like, what was your reaction to that when you got that?
I was super surprised. I didn't really think that I did anything extraordinary out of the blue or anything that would, you know, even warrant me being, you know, Best 11 in the whole country. But it's definitely humbling to think that, you know, still at my age or, you know, my point in my career, I can still, you know, produce accolades like that, which is always good.
How did you have a sour taste in your mouth how that AFC Cleveland game ended to end last year?
It's been very disappointing. We were there. We were in it for sure. I mean, even after I got the red card or whatever and, you know, Coughlin makes the save on the penalty kick, you know, we're still in the game. So it just kind of sucks that we didn't really get that opportunity as far as, you know, that other game being forfeited to go to the playoffs, because then you look at who went to the playoffs and how far they went and just like kind of a one of those what ifs, but I guess we'll never know, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Kendall, we can't wait to see more of you this year. We're happy to have you back, and let's go win a championship.
Yeah, that's the plan. Appreciate it, guys.
Anytime. Kendall McFadden is he's going to be creeping. I wonder if it's a competition between him and Walter, like who retires first, because they could both become the all-time leader on this team. We got some more names to get to, and there's some big names, some really intriguing names before we get Coach Murphy on the show to kind of get his take on it. I mentioned that there are some locals we didn't get to. I hope I don't say this wrong. Abdi, Hassan Sabto, and it might be Sabtow. We'll ask him when we see him. He's out of Riverside High School, perennial all-Western New York guy. Plays with Blackwatch, which is one of the places that Murph coaches as well, and really tore it up at tryouts. I mean, I think he gained everybody's eyes. I had, there were college coaches asking me, who is this kid and how can I see more of him?
Yeah, I've actually seen it's actually Hassan Abdi Sabto. He goes by Abdi, though.
Oh, I know. That's why I said Abdi first, because it's a nickname.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sounds like a...
We're familiar.
Sounds like an excuse.
We're familiar. It's not an excuse.
All right. He is speedy. This guy has a really good change of pace. He's really fleet of foot. He's becoming a better finisher. You can see so much raw talent as an attacker, and attackers are still hard to come by.
Mm-hmm.
And he needs to add a little bit more to his frame, and I think he needs to tidy things up a little bit. He is more of a developmental player at this point than I think he is a projected starter. But down the road, this kid could be real special. There's just the pace this guy has is I haven't seen anything like it in quite a while.
Speaking of, I'm going to lump three players together because I know they're pals out of Empire. One of them from Empire United's Development Academy, and that's Frank Catronio. Frankie's going to be going to Villanova next year, right back. Really intriguing prospect. I know that a lot of schools were looking at him as a scholarship player. So Villanova got a winner there. Troy Brady was the Western New York High School Player of the Year under Coach Butcher. Frank Butcher, not Steve, they're brothers.
Mm-hmm.
But Frank had told me at the awards dinner, we had already kind of gotten a look at him. He's the right kind of kid. He's going to work hard, and be the right kind of player for you. And then there's Andrew Crawford, who not related to Buffalo Blizzard player Andrew Crawford.
I made that mistake once upon a time.
I think we all have. He's from Williamsville out of Rider University, big, strong fullback. Had injury-shortened freshman year for a very good Rider team under Coach Inverso over there. So I'm really excited to see what he can do.
You know, I'm glad we can talk about guys like Frank Catronio and Andrew Crawford because, you know, they didn't play for their high school team. So a lot of the people who
Which
follow...
Which is the worst rule in the world. But
yeah.
That's for another show.
That's frustrating, but I get it. but it's good that they're playing... They're staying in Buffalo to play just so, you know, people can see them, you know,
right.
And they can make a name for themselves locally because, you know, whether or not it's justice or not, the news doesn't cover, you know, Empire soccer. And
right.
Everybody knows Troy Brady's name. Troy is, you know, Western New York Prep Talk Player of the Year, really decorated. He's scored a bunch of goals this year, was, I think, without question, the right choice for Player of the Year. But it was good to see Frank and Andrew also kind of get that attention because – it has to be tough with Empire, and you're traveling all the time, and, you know, all the soccer fans and soccer followers in Western New York may not know who you are.
Got another one to bring in that I'm extremely excited about. We had a discussion with Evansville head coach Marshall Ray last year. I remember calling him up. He's actually a friend of Stu Riddle's here at UB. and just said, hey, you know, we've got a couple rooms that we're interested in looking for guys. And he had kind of said, you know, it was a little late in the game, but I want you to, you know, keep an eye out for this kid. And that kid is Ian McGrath, who's going to be joining us. He scored 2 goals this year as a kind of a holding mid, a little bit of destroyer, has center back capabilities, a gigantic kid too, very big. But he's just pinged some goals, and one of them is going to be, actually might be up now at fcbuffalo.org. 2015 Missouri Valley Conference team honorable mention. That's a good conference too. And he can just hammer the ball. And I'm so excited to see this kid. I think he'll be a major force for the club this summer.
Just like Kieran Toland, it's interesting because they both come from programs who had down years. You know, Evansville was 3-13 overall. I think they were 0-6 in conference, or 0-7 in conference.
Yeah, big rebuilding year for them.
So
new coach.
So I think he'll be excited to play with guys who are, you know, on his level or close to his level. And I'm not saying he's better than everybody on Evansville, but it's good to be in a winning culture and to play with new faces who are talented coming from all over the country, you know. So I think he will benefit from that. You're right, very big guy, 6'4". He reminds me, from what little I've seen of him, of a slightly more offensive-minded Dylan McVane.
Very interesting. Keith Trout from the University of Albany. He's from College Point, New York. 37 consecutive starts for Coach Trevor Gorman. His assistant coach was Bill Boyle, who's now the head coach at Niagara. When I mentioned that we had a shot at landing him, you know, Coach Boyle couldn't have given more of a, yeah, you want to do that. First-team All-America East defender. I mean, that's a good conference as well. Just really excited to see, you know, this guy, you know, can play with either foot. Really strong guy. I know Bobby Roach, our assistant coach, was especially excited about Keith coming to Buffalo.
Yeah, a guy who's played some right back, and I believe he's played some center back too. So, you know, Brendan Murphy likes having that versatility along the back line. Yeah, I mean, it's this also strikes me as somebody who will step in and play right away. Yeah, I mean, I have not seen a lot of Keith Trout playing soccer, yeah. So I really don't have a whole lot to add.
I mean, that's
here.
Kind of it's one of the struggles you have with defenders is they don't always make huge highlight reels of giant dudes winning balls out of the air, you know? Yeah. So that's a part of it. Another guy out of LIU Brooklyn, where Romario is from, and that's Brian Paredes. Sophomore, has played pretty much every position on the pitch for them except center back. 28 appearances in 2 seasons, and he was in a clogged midfield over there with some, you know, incredible players, and that team went to the tournament, and we saw some footage of him. He's kind of a guy who's going to do anything he can to win a ball and help a team. So excited for Brian to come. Jack Fisher's another one, and you love when they reach out to you. kid from St. Peter's University, another MAC kid. We've had a lot of kids from the Metro Atlantic Conference. From Leeds, England, he had 2 goals and an assist this year after being a D2 transfer
from
to St. Barry, Peter's.
From the Barry Bucks.
Yeah, he is he's your prototypical English defender, I think would be the way to put it. It's a really tough kid who's going to do anything he can to win. And we've talked about this before, if there's one knock against what we see from some, not all, American kids that don't come up in that culture of England where you're coming to an academy, and if you don't play well that year, you're not going to be in the club. There's a desperation in these English backs we see, and we love that. Got 2 more players to mention, I think, before we get Coach Murphy on the show. Austin Diltz, who was at tryouts out of St. Lawrence, played 18 games as a freshman at Murph's alma mater over there at St. Lawrence. And, man, he and Zana Kasey almost went at it in tryouts. I mean, this kid played hard in a tryout like his life depended on it. And that's so you see a lot of these, as they call them from St. Lawrence, Murph calls them SLU guys, SLU.
SLU.
And the SLU guys, I haven't met too many soft SLU guys, if any. And Austin is certainly is in that. So Barrett, Bishaw, Brady, those are the 3 Bs. Casey, Catronio, Crawford, Diltz, Fishard, Guscott, Jeffs, McGrath, McFadden, Noel, Paredes, O'Grady, Sabto, Suter, Toland, Trout, Vega, Walter, and Winkle. That's the first class. There are going to be some more added soon, but let's talk about those players with FC Buffalo head coach Brendan Murphy. Big man, how you doing?
Doing great, Nick. How you doing?
I got to tell you, we've had so many conversations, you and I, but especially you and Bobby have had even more, Coach Roach and Scott. It's got to be nice for you to just kind of be able to sit back and be like, yes, these guys are coming. We're very excited. And just kind of like, this is it. This is what all your work has been leading up to, is this and playing soccer games.
Absolutely. I mean, just listening to the show and hearing the names and hearing you guys talk about, you know, some of the things that they've done. A lot of what we've done is watch film and watch the guys play and talk to the coaches, but hearing about some of the accolades and the numbers in there is nice to know that, you know, we've got a group of guys that have already done it and they've already produced and they've been honored for what they've done in their colleges. And it's something that, you know, we haven't had players of this quality yet at FC Buffalo, which, you know, it's going to be really fun to work with them. And, you know, I'm excited about the work we've put in. It is not over, as you've already mentioned, but we're still talking to players and we've got a few more housing slots that we can fill. And, you know, there's more to come, but this is a great start and I feel really good about where we are.
Murph, for some of these out-of-town guys, what are some of the connections, whether it's, you know, LIU, Brooklyn, and St. Francis? It seems like you've drawn several players this year from there. Albany seems like it makes sense. But, like, for the guys who are coming in from out-of-town, what are some of the connections that you've been able to work through to get these guys?
Everything under the sun, Ben, really. It's been just each one of us, Nick and Scott and Bob and myself, have gone through our Rolodex, been able to forge relationships with people that have either connected us with the player themselves or connected us with a coach that connected us with the player. Some of them have been cold calls. Some of them have been guys that have reached out to us. So, you know, it's been a multitude of different ways, and we've basically just followed up on every single lead possible and investigated and found guys that we feel are vetted fully, and we feel, you know, strongly that they're going to do well, that we're pretty confident in the group.
So I suspect you just Googled Romario Soccer and then saw yeah. and then saw what came up?
Yep, that's how we found him. That's pretty much it.
Fair enough.
Murph, I was going to say, just to lend some insight, one of the things that you have to do is kind of go through, you know, coaches want their players here. And so you've kind of got to navigate talking to a coach, talking to a player and making sure they're the right fit for you. And it probably bears repeating to the fans out there and the listeners out there, what is Brendan Murphy looking for in a player?
I mean, yes, to answer the first part of your question, yes, there's definitely some work to be done to make sure that players that we're talking to, the coaches that sell their players at times and, you know, maybe inflate their opinions of players, but for the most part, all the coaches we've talked to have been really good and just, you know, I think, honest and have told us about some of the players' flaws. And, you know, when we dig deeper, what's the issue? Why is he not on another team, or why is he not already sorted out? So, yeah, there's that part of it that we have to deal with. But, you know, things that I look for first and foremost is coachability, good attitude, want to improve. If they don't want to improve and they don't care about the training and they don't care about getting better as a player, then this is not the right place for them, because so much of what we do is working on different parts of our game and individual improvement and individual development. And we're basing our entire group on the philosophy that we're bringing in current Division I college players as the bulk of our players. Obviously, we do have Kendall and Chris and, you know, a couple other guys that are veterans that we love them and they contribute something very important to the team. But, you know, it's the guys that want to improve, to get better, to go back to a college season that realize that if they're not in the 18 for a game or two, that it's not the end of the world, because the training is what really matters and the environment is what really matters. So those are the players that I'm looking for. Guys that want to get better at every position. Obviously, you guys have already mentioned versatility, and I said that from day one. Just the way this league works, we need players that can play multiple positions and are willing to and comfortable playing those spots, not just do it because they're forced. But, they, you know, most of these guys, when we ask them, where do you want to play, where do you like to play? Hey, coach, wherever you need me. I like playing here, but wherever you need me. And I love those guys.
You know, Murph, I think a lot about your goals and in the way you're trying to build. And I remember something that Andrew Coughlin, who's obviously been a keeper for you twice, left and came back to us. And you're a keeper yourself. Well, I mean, would you still, you once a keeper, always a keeper? Is that fair? Or should I have gone past tense there, Brendan?
No, it's once a keeper, always a keeper. But I'll take the past tense. I accept.
Okay.
I accept.
you know, the one thing that I know Andrew was looking for and liked getting here is that players and coaches are going to treat training seriously, like it's the next step in their progression. They're not a finished product. And you have a team here that you mentioned. All these guys are, if not every game starters and every minute players, they're pretty much fixtures on their team, and they have to come here and duke it out just to get on the field. You know that they're working with that sort of challenge, and you prepare them for that. But how intense does training get?
That is the major challenge of the year, of the NPSL, I think, is finding players that are willing to buy into what we're trying to do. They all start most of their games or wherever they've been before here. Mm-hmm. And when they come here, yeah, it gets really intense. And the battles become, and, you know, I've put it in our player manual already up front that, you know, no dangerous tackles in practice. That's a rule. It's written in ink. No dangerous tackles in practice. And, you know, those have been things that have happened in the past, not because guys are trying to hurt each other to take a spot, but just because they're so competitive and they'll do anything it takes to win that one tackle, that one challenge that they think might give them a chance to get on the field. As you've said, and as we know, the environment and atmosphere at FC Buffalo game days is, I think Kendall mentioned, is second to none. And these guys desperately want to be out there helping the team win and you know, being in front of those 1,500 fans every game. So, yeah, it gets super intense. And that's my biggest challenge as a coach. I'm learning every year and trying different ways to get these guys to really understand and buy into the fact that they're not going to play every game, they're not going to play every minute, but these are still our teammates, and we got to support them and appreciate the experience.
Murph, it seems like size was a bit of a focus this year. If I see a current thread among a lot of the players, you're seeing 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", guys. Was that intentional, or did it just work out that way?
I would say it is very intentional.
We need
the size. I mean, this is just a big league. These are guys that are going to, challenge physically. And the group that we have brought in, I think you see some size, but you also see some pacey little wingers that maybe don't have as big of a size. But the fact that we have enough bruisers in the middle that are both bruisers and skillful players and very tactically sound, I think that may allow those smaller guys to do their job and to do their thing out wide because of the physically imposing guys we have kind of up the middle.
I know there's going to be a lot of questions from fans, like, who are the goal scorers going to be this year? And when you look at some of the offensive players that you brought in, who jumps out to you is like, all right, this guy's going to be able to put the ball in the back of the net?
Well, you ask me this question every year, Ben. I love it. I appreciate it.
I'm nothing if not consistent, Murph.
Well, you got Jamie O'Grady, who's already scored 11 this past year. You got Romario, who scored 7 this past year. You got Kieran Tolan. You got Ian McGrath, Vega. I could see Bailey Winkle. I mean, I think it could come from a bunch of different areas, and that's fun. That's very exciting.
Murph, I did want to ask you, because we had Nick Jeffs on the show earlier, and I know you're a big fan of Steve Casey as well, two keepers coming into camp, so to speak. What do you like when you're looking for a keeper? Because I know that's your thing, man. You love watching the keepers and scouting them out.
Absolutely, and I'm excited about both. Both of them, when you talk to them, they want the competition. They love the competition, and even a third guy that we've spoken to but maybe haven't quite made it official yet, they all said they love the competition. They love having themselves be pushed, and I think I'm the same way. You're always better if you have to earn it, and that's how this is. So Nick Jeffs, well, I'm really excited about what he can bring to the table. When I watched the Stanford game, which is the one of the major games that I watched in order to feel good about bringing him here, obviously Danny Sapero's recommendation carries a lot of weight with me as well, knowing where he's been. But Nick Jeffs is just constantly tuned in. He's organizing, he's communicating throughout the entire game. You can just see it and hear it even on the video. He can kick well, consistently, and he's off his line very quickly. He's aggressive. Obviously, you said he's got the big body. 6'4", athletic, you know, makes some saves that you mentioned unorthodox. I mean, I think he does whatever it takes to keep the ball out, and you could tell. And I love that. And then talking to him, the way he talks, he wants to get better every day. He wants to improve. One of his biggest focuses is what's the training going to be like. And, you know, we spent a lot of time talking about what we're going to do to help the goalkeepers in training, and I love that. I love that about him, and I think just the fact that he wants to improve and is able to play at a high level right now. He started 6 games for, you know, one of the programs that you think of as legendary in the country. Maybe they didn't have their best year, but they're always you don't get bad players from Louisville, and and he still wants to get better, and you know, it's just that's something we want.
Murph, you've got some spots left, but you said housing spots, but also, you know, roster spots as well. What are you looking for? Is there a certain position or a certain type of player, or what are your goals, you know, to fill out the rest of the roster?
Yeah, I think we would like to bring in more depth and more quality. There's definitely across the back line, I think we could use a couple more players, and we're in talks with a group of guys that I think is going to really help us with that. And then maybe some wingers, and to try to bring in guys that are going to be able to get around the end and serve some crosses into the box, and maybe, you know, guys that have that little extra bit of magic and are able to score big goals in big games, but from a winger position. I think, you know, I feel really good about some of the guys we have up the middle, but maybe out wide is where we're looking to bring in a few fresh faces that will help us.
All right, Murph, we got to go. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, you know, on the FC Buffalo and the fans' behalf for all the work that you've done. We're excited to see what comes of it and the more names that come, and thanks for calling.
Not a problem, guys. Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure.
All right. Brendan Murphy's the head coach. We got to go. We're right up against it. Thanks to Derek Kramer for producing, and go to fcbuffalo.org. It's going to be fun.